Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That rather wordy sentence opened our epistle reading today. That rather wordy sentence speaks about the otherness, about being separated, being apart. The Gentiles were referred to as the uncircumcised, and to us, that sounds like an unnecessary descriptor. Why bring that into it, we might ask? But to the ears of those listening to this letter, this description is heavy. The condemnation of the otherness is deep. Only those who were circumcised were in. They are the circumcised ones, after all, the chosen ones. It all began with Abraham, this covenant, and it has continued to this day. But on this day, actually, on the day of the incarnation, that all changed. It was really never meant to be an exclusive thing, but the people misunderstood what God was saying, so they proceeded to live by culling, living, separating people as in or out. Scripture has many references to that: sheep and goats, wheat and tares, in and out, or more exactly, who is in and who is out, has always been a real struggle. In the earliest days of being in, it referred to those who could come near God, those who could come near the tent of meeting, and ultimately who could enter the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. And in order to be allowed into the tent, a person had to be holy, had to be clean. There were all sorts of rules and regulations, laws they were called, that helped people order their lives so that they would be holy or clean. Given the equally numerous things that could defile a person, making them unclean, there were guidelines for restoring oneself to a state of holiness. Holiness was the given state of being. Holiness was the default setting. God has made God's people holy. The people, by their day-to-day actions, became unclean, and in order to be made clean again, they did something, most often a sacrifice or a ritual, an offering to God. Still, there were only a set group of men who could enter the Holy of Holies, and they were determined by nothing more than having been born into the priestly family. All of this order, all of this striving to remain in a state that they were born, a state of holiness, was to assure that God would stay with them, that God would dwell in their midst. It was all about their relationship with God. What we've heard from the author of Ephesians is that those who were out are now in. And if you think that is a small step for mankind, you are entirely wrong. To let pagans in, the uncircumcised, read subhuman, read no way, this is a huge, huge thing. It's like the civil rights movement plus. The author of this letter boldly proclaims, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing walls, that is, the hostility between us." And you know, this is an important lesson for us today. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace." Really? Is he our peace, or is he our dividing wall? The author of this letter seems to think that Jesus brings peace. He continues this thought by saying that he might create in himself one humanity in the place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. Has this Jesus made peace? He himself said that he came to bring division, or at least the writers of the Gospels tell it that way, that children would rise up against parents and parents against children. But that is not what the author of Ephesians would have us hear. He would have us hear of unity, of those who were out now being in. But this inclusivity, this tearing down of walls that divide, does not abolish the command to be holy, to be in right relationship with God. That command has never gone away and never will. This is a timely lesson. We still need to take a hard look at who are our Gentiles. Who are the people that we would exclude? Who are the people that we think God created on an off day? Those who don't get it. Those who aren't right, those who no matter what their relationship with God are still not allowed in the tent of meeting, our tent of meeting. We still seem to want this Christianity to be an exclusive thing. We still worry about who's in and who is out, and we want to have a set of guidelines that clearly spells that out. But the fact of the matter is, we don't. We don't have 613 plus laws to follow to cleanse ourselves of our uncleanliness. We don't worry so much about who's circumcised and who isn't, thank goodness. But we worry about other things, don't we? We worry an awful lot about what people do or where they just happen to have been born. We forget about the salvific nature of the resurrection. What then does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow this Christ? Certainly there are high expectations for those of us claiming to be Christians. The expectation overall is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That should keep us busy for a while. So how are we doing with this? Are we showing love for our neighbors by concerning ourselves with the lives of those around us? Or do we, like our ancient ancestors, just want to keep them away? Were we not all created in the image of God? We're not all people created by God as holy. Jesus, we are told, has abolished the law with his commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in the place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. Jesus has come to create in himself one humanity, thus making peace, and might reconcile all to God through the cross. Jesus yearns to bring all people to himself. All people. We might not like this. We might wish it were different. Christianity would be so much simpler if God would smite those we don't like and love only those we love. But that is not how it is. No matter where we fall on the unpleasant continuum of liberal to conservative and every other wall or continuum that divides, he has broken down the dividing wall, whether we like that or not. And if Christ has come down to break down walls that divide, who are we as his followers to want to build them up? Jesus wants all people to come to him, even us. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within us, that we might love you with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.